This is Talking Business.
I'm joined now by Marty Switzer, who's the CEO of Contango Asset Management. G'day, Marty. Thanks for joining me.
G'day, Alan. It's an honour to be here.
Well, I mainly want to talk to you about corporate culture, but just if you wouldn't mind, give us a quick profile of your business to begin with.
Yeah, I'm the CEO of a company called Contango Asset Management. We're a financial services company that has a marketing and distribution platform that allows high-quality fund management brands to target the retail superannuation market. Contango had a history as a product.
Tell us what the word Contango means.
It actually relates to the oil industry, and it's when your future price is greater than the actual spot price, and that's known as being in a state of contango. It's a name that one of the management teams long before my time created many years ago.
Right, so because normally futures prices are lower than spot prices.
Yeah.
Very good. Anyway, keep going. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, all good. So basically, the business has gone through a period of change. We've sort of shifted the focus from product manufacturer to marketing and distribution platform. And we've got, as part of that restructure, we did a number of things. We had a joint venture with a company called Switzer Financial Group, my family company that I ran for a number of years. We acquired a joint venture that we had with that business called Switzer Asset Management. We rolled it into the Contango business. Yeah, we changed the business model quite materially. We sort of restructured significantly, and the focus was about shifting to more of a marketing and distribution platform that allowed high-quality brands to target the retail superannuation market. One of the key things we did was we signed an exclusive retail distribution arrangement with a top-performing fund manager out of the US called WCM. They're a top quartile manager. They manage $42 billion globally, and they've engaged us to do their retail distribution in Australia. And that also coincided with the recruitment of a high-quality distribution team. And essentially, our focus is to go out there and build a suite of high-quality products to target the SMSF and financial planning market in the funds management space.
So would you say that selling the WCM funds is your main business, or is it more balanced than that?
Look, very much we've got an organic strategy, which is about growing our existing product set. And I guess the flagship brand that we've got is WCM, based on, the WCM having an outstanding track record. We distribute a strategy here called the WCM Quality Global Growth Strategy. It's in the large cap space. We distribute that via a listed investment company, an exchange traded managed fund, and a unit trust. WCM's track record over the last 10 years has been, exceptional. They've beaten the benchmark by over 520 basis points. So, they're a key part of our growth strategy. The addressable market for global equities in Australia in the retail space is about $150 billion. We'd like to think in the medium term, WCM can take a material share of that market.
Well, 520 basis points or 5.2% is not a bad outperformance. Let's face it, that's pretty good.
Yeah. After fees too. So
after fees,
They've been high quality, and one of 15 managers to outperform last year. The numbers are excellent, but past performance is no guarantee of future performance. But what makes WCM unique is their investment process, and they have this unique process whereby they invest in companies based on what they call moat trajectory. So they're looking for companies that have growing moats, as opposed to a lot of managers that are just looking for those sort of wide moat businesses. WCM's less concerned about the width of a moat, they're more concerned about how is that moat changing? Is it growing or is it in decline? But the really unique part of the process to sort of support this sort of whole moat trajectory thesis is they invest in companies based on the culture of the organisation. And that whole sort of process came about through WCM's own business journey. WCM sort of subscribes to that age-old adage, Alan, that it takes 30 years to become an overnight success. The business started in 1976 in California, and up until 1998, it could never grow its fund past $200 million. And in 1998, a management team sort of bought out the existing founder. And I think they say that a lot of the growth, a lot of the reasons why the business didn't grow, because the founder was what the current management team described as a solo act. He owned all the equity. He made all the investment decisions. And he basically made all the money, and he could never grow FUM past $200 million. So when a new management team came in, they said, well, look, let's do the exact opposite of what the founder did. So they basically rewarded staff with equity. They got them involved in the investment decision-making process, and they paid them well. And between 1998 to 2007, FUM grew from $200 million to $2 billion. And it was at that point where they sort of looked at their business journey and said that, you know, this whole culture thing's, you know, really had a massive impact on our business. And they then started to apply this overlay to their investment process. And from sort of 2007 to, you know, today, FUM has grown from sort of $2 billion to $42 billion. And, you know, the track record has sort of outperformed by over 520 basis points. So it's through their own business journey that they were able to discover this unique proprietary investment process that's contributed to significant outperformance. And we're very lucky to be distributing that product here in Australia.
Yes, and the portfolio manager's name is absolutely perfect. Kurt Win Rich. Amazing.
Exactly.
Couldn't be better.
No. No, that's right. Absolutely. Another commentator's made a joke about that in the past. So it's definitely the name you want for someone that's looking after your money. And
well, it's better than being
there from the start.
Better than being called lose poor.
Yeah, exactly right. So look, they're high quality people, and they're doing some fantastic things.
So obviously, corporate culture is a hot topic at the moment after the Royal Commission in Australia.
Yeah.
And Kurt says great companies tend to have great cultures. But the problem, I suppose, with culture is that you can't key it into your spreadsheet particularly. I mean, how do you measure culture and how do they measure culture?
Yeah, that's a great question, Alan. And I think, you know, that's one of the issues that the investment community has is that they can't measure it. So, you know, WCM have, you know, over a number of years built this proprietary process, which they're pretty honest to say that it's more an art than science. You know, they've got a full-time culture analyst internally that, you know, examines the culture of, you know, all the companies that sort of are within their universe. And this particular strategy, their sort of their flagship strategy, basically focuses on sort of, you know, large cap companies, global companies in the consumer technology and healthcare space. So they've got an analyst that's looking at culture in those companies, and then they do a lot of things like, you know, one of the terms they talk about is sort of scuttlebutt research, where they, the idea around sort of conversations that used to sort of take place over the water cooler. They're out there, they're interviewing people all the time. So they interview management, but that's probably less of a driver because, you know, management are sort of, you know, CEO is often a great salesperson. They're very, 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 very scripted. They're going to be very focused on delivering their message. So whilst they do interview the CEO and they've got some great questions that they ask the CEO about, you know, about culture to try and understand how important it is in the organization, they also spend a lot of time with former employees, suppliers, customers, people that have deep relationships or deep understandings of that business. They look at things like net promoter scores, customer surveys. Tangible things they look at is, you know, remuneration reports to work out how companies are remunerated, and sort of, you know, often pay will be a big driver as to what the culture is like internally. And they also look at, you know, things like staff turnover. That's another driver of, you know, what the culture is at the organisation. You tend to find people in the companies that have healthy cultures have very low staff turnover rates. So there's a number of factors that go into it, but it's definitely what they describe as an art, more than a science. But, you know, they've got a high quality process that's, you know, been able to demonstrate some.
Are you applying the same art to your own funds in Australia?
Look, I think that's something that, so our model is basically we've got a suite of brands and we have different managers that appeal to different parts of the market. So, you know, the funds that we've got here are basically, you know, invested in large cap Australian companies. So, you know, finding those companies that have that that cultural edge is a challenge. So that's not something that we're doing under the Switzer brand. One company though that WCM do invest in, and it's not actually in the global portfolio, it's in their international portfolio that's available in the US in the institutional space. A company that ticks all the boxes on the culture side is CSL. So that's not in our portfolio because most Australians or a lot of Australian investors own CSL, but that's a company that sort of ticks the boxes from a cultural perspective. But, you know, for another manager to be able to sort of deliver the same sort of process that WCM delivers is quite difficult, and that's why we've engaged them, because we think that's what makes them unique, and that's the opportunity that we have to grow our business here in Australia.
Do you think that they would invest in Australia's banks?
Look, traditionally, they're not big believers in investing in banks.
No, but you know what I mean, though, Marty. I mean, it's not. I'm not talking about so much whether they're banks or not, but just the question of, I suppose, would our banks meet the WCM culture culture hurdle?
No, look, I think interestingly, WCM do have some investments in financial services in the portfolio. There are two banks. HDFC is an Indian bank, and that's got an incredible culture around customer service. And they've got another bank in the US that, again, it's all around the customer called First National. I've spoken to them about investing in, the more large cap banks, and those banks don't fit the WCM investment criteria.
So have you spent much time with their culture expert to understand the sort of things he's looking for?
Yeah, look, there are sort of two culture people. I haven't spent any time with a culture analyst, but the person that I have spent time with is they have a chief culture officer in their own business in the US. And, one of the he's basically, is part of the executive team. He's all about ensuring that performance is optimized at WCM. There's a couple of books that they sort of recommend. One book that gives a great flavor for the investment process or the qualities they're looking for in companies is called The Advantage. And there was a speaker out in Melbourne and Sydney recently called Patrick Lencioni. A lot of those principles have been applied in the WCM investment process, and have spent some time with their chief culture officer. And ultimately, one of the questions that sort of they ask internally, and a question they ask the CEOs in the companies that they're invested in, is that if you had a relative start in your business today, what would you tell them about what you need to do to get ahead in this company? WCM, very much sort of practice what they preach. They're one of the things that I think makes them different is one of the things that they believe makes them stand out from their industry is that they care about their people. So they invest a lot of time in ensuring that people are happy. And if people are happy, they produce great effort. And when people produce great effort, that results in hopefully happy shareholders.
We'll have to leave it there, Marty, but it's been great talking to you. Thanks.
Alan, thanks to you.
I've been talking to Marty Switzer, who's the CEO of Contango Asset Management.